and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning with the 34th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this first Sunday after Epiphany. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, throughout the history of the world, people have tried to take over the world, to rule over everyone on the face of the earth. People such as Hitler or Napoleon or Julius Caesar and the other Roman Emperor, the Roman Emperors who followed him, to Alexander the Great. Many people have tried to take over and rule over the world. And they used warfare to do it. They killed countless individuals, destroyed numerous countries and societies. And some of them did quite well. They ruled over the majority of the known world. But in the end, all of them failed. Try as they might, no one has ruled over all people. Except one. Today we see that Jesus is Lord of all. And not because he defeated the whole world and made them subject to him. His rule wasn't one of warfare and violence and submission. Rather, we see that he is Lord of all because he was baptized for all and he brings peace to all. Our first lesson for today contains a prophecy about Jesus. Jesus is called God's servant, and God says about him, "I will put my spirit on him." Now, as we study this prophecy that was given about 700 years before Christ was born, we see that God called Jesus in righteousness. That means holiness or perfection. We see that Jesus would help out the poor and he would take care of the needy. We see that he would spread the light of the gospel to the Gentiles who were living in darkness of unbelief. He would free those who are held captive by sin. For centuries, God's people waited for the words of this prophecy to be fulfilled. Fast forward more than 700 years. It was several years after Jesus died and rose from the dead when we see Peter in Joppa on the top of a roof praying. And God came to him in a vision. He showed him a sheet full of unclean animals and he told Peter to take and eat them. When Peter objected, saying, "I've never had anything unclean," God responded by saying, Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Three times that happened. And when Peter was still trying to figure out what this all meant, a group of men from Cornelius, a Roman centurion, came to visit Peter. Cornelius worshipped God. He was a good and righteous man, and earlier God had also appeared to him in a vision and told him to contact Peter. So Peter went with the men, traveled the 30 miles from Joppa up the coast to Caesarea to visit Cornelius. And it was there that Peter realized what his vision of that sheet meant. There was nothing unclean that God had made, whether it was animal or human. The Old Testament laws and regulations were removed, set free from the death and resurrection of Christ. That means they could now associate with Gentiles and spread the gospel and share the gospel with them. Peter told Cornelius when he first met him, You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." And after Peter heard Cornelius' story, in the first words of our text, Peter says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." Then Peter began to tell Cornelius, or to remind Cornelius, of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Peter connects all three of our lessons together. He connects our first lesson with Jesus' baptism. And what Peter was doing connects our second lesson with our first lesson. We, if you remember, at first lesson, God said that Jesus, his servant, would spread the light of the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what Peter is doing. That's what Jesus is doing through Peter here today. Peter was talking to Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile. As Peter shared the message of Christ, the Holy Spirit was working faith into his heart, strengthening that faith, shining light into a darkened soul. Now, while it is true that there were some Gentiles who were brought to faith before this Pentecost, and in the Old Testament there is an occasional Gentile who was brought to faith, for the most part, the gospel remained closed to the Gentiles. But now that Christ had suffered and died and rose from the dead for all people, for the whole world, the gospel is now spread to them as well. And that's what Jesus is doing today through Peter to Cornelius. And as Peter told Cornelius about Jesus' ministry, he started at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, at his baptism. You may remember that in our first lesson, God prophesied that he would put his Spirit on Jesus. Peter says that was fulfilled at his baptism. Peter said, "You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. As Jesus was walking out of the water with John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit came and landed on Jesus. The Father spoke words of approval from heaven. 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" It was here that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Marked as the promised Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the one God chose from the beginning of the world to save the world from their sins. Of course, it's not as if Jesus wasn't the chosen one or the Messiah before. We remember that when he was born, the angels announced, "A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." But it is here at his baptism that God publicly marked him as the Messiah, that God publicly portrayed him as the Christ. It was here at Jesus' baptism that he began his public ministry. You can say it was here that he actively started serving as our substitute. And so, he was baptized. But why? Why was Jesus baptized? We know why we were baptized. We were born in unbelief and sin. Conceived by two sinful parents, we too were sinful. Sinful from the time our mothers conceived us. Born as enemies of God, children of the devil, we didn't know God. We didn't care about God. We didn't know what his Son had done for us. Dead in our transgressions and sins. And because of this original sin that we inherited from our parents, we sin every day. Countless times a day, we fail to obey the laws of God perfectly that He demands of us. Because of who we are and what we have done, we deserve nothing but God's wrath and damnation. We deserve to suffer with the devil forever. And we can't save ourselves. We can't obey God perfectly to save ourselves. We can't impress God enough to make Him save us. So we need baptism. It is in baptism that God saves us. As Peter says, baptism now saves you. Or as Paul told Timothy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It is in baptism that God forgives our sins. As Peter said on Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. In baptism, God gives faith to unbelievers, and He strengthens the faith of believers, as Peter continued to say about baptism, that through baptism we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a reference to faith. At our baptisms, our sinful nature is drowned. Our sins are washed away, and we are clothed with the righteous robes of Christ, making us pure and perfect and holy in the sight of God. We need baptism to be saved. We need our sins washed away. But why was Christ baptized? He wasn't conceived and born into sin like the rest of us. He never sinned against God, never committed any wrong. He didn't need His sins washed away through the waters of baptism. So why did Christ need to be baptized? When John the Baptist questioned Jesus, Jesus said, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. But what righteousness did Christ need to fulfill? He didn't need baptism for His own sake, but for ours. Because we know that on the cross, Christ would take the sins of the whole world upon Himself. He would become guilty of everything that we had done wrong. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of all our sins. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. And so Christ was baptized, not to wash away His own sins, but to wash away our sins, which He took upon Himself. Jesus needed to be baptized in order to fulfill all the righteous requirements for us. It was at His baptism that Jesus officially began to serve as our substitute. And as our substitute, He had become like us in every way, even to the point of taking our sins upon Himself and becoming guilty of everything we had done wrong. So Jesus was baptized not for Himself, but for us. To serve as our substitute, to be baptized, to wash away the guilt of all our sins, and so that He could make us righteous in His sight through faith. Jesus then was baptized for all people, just as He suffered, died, and rose for all people. All people, whether men or women, young or old, Jew or Gentile, Jesus was baptized for all. And so He is the Lord of all. Of course, Jesus isn't just the Lord over all because He is baptized for all. As God, He also brings peace to all. It was at His baptism that Jesus officially began His ministry. And so when Peter related to Cornelius Jesus' ministry, Peter started with baptism and went up. He said he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Throughout his ministry, Jesus showed his divine power. He's able to perform miracles. He healed diseases. He showed power over nature. He cast out demons. He even raised people from the dead. In other words, instead of breaking a bruised reed or snuffing out a smoldering wick, he helped out those in need, those being oppressed by the devil, fulfilling the words of our first lesson. He showed his power as God and proved that he had power over the devil and his demons. Of course, that wasn't the only thing Jesus did with his divine power. He also brought people to faith. He spread the gospel about himself, and people believed that he truly was the Messiah, the fulfillment of this first lesson. And those people believed. They had the light of the gospel shine in their hearts, and they spread the gospel so that other peoples may know and believe. That's how Cornelius heard about Jesus, because some Jews shared the message of the gospel with a Gentile. Of course, the most important part of Jesus' ministry happened at the end of his ministry, when he suffered and died on the cross and took our sins upon himself. And then he rose from the dead and promises that all who believe in him will live with him in heaven forever when he raises us from the dead. So we have peace. The peace of forgiveness. Peace of mind knowing that Christ has paid for all our sins. That he will not count them against us. They will not come back to us to haunt us or condemn us. But that because of what Christ has done, our sins have been removed and paid for. The peace of eternal life. Peace of mind knowing that no matter what happens in this life, better life awaits. That no matter how much we suffer on this earth, eventually we will join Jesus in heaven and have a perfect life free from pain and toil and sorrow. Peace of everlasting life. Jesus brings us the peace of reconciliation. Now we were created in God's image and likeness, perfect and holy, knowing his will. But Adam and Eve doubted God's love. They rebelled against him. They ate that forbidden fruit and lost God's image. Became sinners, and our sins separate us from God. But Christ took away our sins. He removed what separates us from God. So now we are reconciled back to God. We are at one with him. He restored our perfect relationship with our Father. We are now at one with him. Reconciled to our Lord. That is the peace we now have. The peace of forgiveness, the peace of reconciliation between sinners and their God, the peace of everlasting life. It's a peace that only the God-man can give us, a peace that only a substitute can win for us. The peace that Peter shared with that Gentile Cornelius. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know that as well. You know that Jesus is Lord of all, not because he defeated nations and made them submit to him, but Jesus is Lord of all because he brings peace to all, because he was baptized for all. you know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. But sadly, not everyone knows. So follow Peter's example. Share the message. Spread the gospel to everyone, young and old, men and women, Jew or Gentile, so that they may hear, so that they may know, so that they may believe, so that they may confess that Jesus truly is Lord of all. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.